through what he had to go through. He was anointed to endure the pain on the cross. He was anointed to endure the pain of being flogged and being beaten throughout the night. He was anointed to be lied on. Amen. He was anointed to go through so many things. And I know, you know, it sounds strange to have the word anointing and right afterwards or right before it, we're talking about pain and suffering. We're talking about times of difficulties and time of hardship. But yet, nevertheless, Christ was anointed to endure all that he had to endure. He was anointed to stand when no one else was standing with him. My God, he was anointed to finish the race, to finish the charge that God has given him. Amen. It's not always easy to be obedient, especially when your obedience involves you going against the social norm. It involves you going against the grain. It involves you doing the opposite of what others may think it's okay to do. Amen. And so that you may obey what God has commanded you to do. Amen. And that's a big difference. Amen. When we're following what Christ has said for us to do. Amen. So whatever you're going through now in life, just know there's purpose in your pain. Amen. Your suffering is not for naught. Amen. And it's not for nothing. Amen. And so know that something good can come out of whatever you may be going through right now. So God bless you. Now I'm going to open up the mic lines and give you opportunities to say hello and good evening and that you may make a prayer request at this time. Good evening, listener. Amen. We have callers from 901. We have callers from 440 and callers from 216. Amen. If you would like to make a request or comment, the mics are now open to receive you.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Bond, how you doing tonight?
Wonderful, wonderful. Been a long day, but I made it. Amen.
Well, speaking of the anointing, I'll tell you of a group of people that really have an anointing that must be on their lives because very few would attempt this kind of a job.
Amen.
Imagine up north in the Arctic Circle there, a bunch of truckers that have to haul loads over ice on a lake to ship goods, and an 18-wheeler over a lake on ice.
Amen.
That would take an anointing, not to mention nerves.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Wait a minute. This blind trucker doesn't mind driving on ice with concrete under the ice, but I'm not doing it with water under the ice.
Hey, with just water under it.
Yeah, I ain't trying that one.
I seen a movie where they had to do that and literally had to, in order to make their delivery on time, they had to use the frozen water to cross this river or lake or whatever it was. They had to, it was a river or a sea. But they had to do that, and the thing about it is you can still have waves, even though you got a block of ice.
It's a series if people want to check it out. It's called Ice Road Truckers. It'll show you
that's exactly what
it's about.
Yeah, that was it. That was it. Amen. It was a movie I saw. Amen. But nevertheless, that's a show enough challenge. You definitely got to have faith and that's amazing. We can have faith in man-made systems. systems that can flaw or fail at any given moment. But God, who never fails, we don't even give that the moment to prove itself. Glory to God. Help us today, Lord. Anyhow, well, nevertheless, God bless you, Missionary Ken. Amen. For those that are listening that was not sure whom that was, that was Missionary Ken.
Right. And also just want to remind everybody to join us tomorrow. You were talking about the crucifixion and the anointing there. Tomorrow we'll be having a doctor, Truman Davis, telling us about the medical angle of the cross. So you'll want to check that out at 7 o'clock Eastern.
Amen. That's going to be doing the Word of King program, amen?
No, on Wednesday at 7 p.m.
There we go. Amen, there you go. You said tomorrow. All right, so clarity, amen. Repeat that one more time.
It'll be on Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, here on the Six Eyes Wednesday Night Bible Study. We'll be having Dr. Truman Davis will be giving a message that evening on a medical look at the cross. From the medical standpoint, what Jesus endured from the medical viewpoint. So you'll want to check that out. And
amen,
Pastor Bond,
amen.
I think even you would be interested in that.
Absolutely. Even though I know the in my studies we were able to study what took place on the cross, and I often use that in when I'm sharing about the difficulties of the cross. That a lot of times, what you know, we see Hollywood and we see this neatly portrayed, slightly battered male figure on two pieces of wood. And we think that that was the true impigment of the cross. And it was not. And the cross itself was a very heinous. Being crucified in that day and time was a very heinous thing that the Romans did to any citizen. It was very, very extreme, amen, because it causes one's lungs to fill up with blood, and it would cause them suffocation. Many of you all remember that you don't watch movies like Passion of the Christ or some of the others, and you will see that when they nailed their feet together, how they nailed them behind one another. And this meant that the only way that he can take good, clean breath was he had to push or press on that nail spike and in order to get a clean, decent breath without blood. And so the cross, the pain of the cross, the suffering of the cross was so severe. And when anyone, and that's one of the things that really provoke Mel Gibson when he made the movie Passion of the Cross, Passion of the Christ, that because he understood the suffering, and so his goal was to give a more honest detail picture picture of what that would look like.
And
so even when they was whipping him, he showed how the flesh was being pulled from Christ's body and the representation of that. And, so he went into very detail to give us that understanding. And I think it's noteworthy to be detailed like that, because you think about to all of us that celebrate holidays, we're very detailed in when we're celebrating those holidays. If you celebrate Christmas, you're detailed in the arrangements of Christmas ornaments around your tree. So if we can be very detailed about Columbine things, then we got to understand that we must be more detailed concerning the scenes surrounding God and Christ, because the world must really know what happened so that they can have the understanding what sacrifice he had to make. I mean, without that one image alone, Missionary Ken, I think of it like this. If I was the creator of all, it would be a challenge for Kenneth to allow what he created to bring him physical harm for any reason. Period.
Amen. And also, just to let you know, this Dr. Truman Davis, he's an MD. This is an MD that has given us this medical look at the cross. So he is an MD. So it is actually coming from a medical doctor's point of view.
Amen. And so we look forward to that experience, that time of fellowship. And I encourage you, you got family members who think little of the cross, invite them out. Invite them on the program. Amen. Connect with them and do what you can to get them there to really receive that understanding so that life can be made better. Amen. Thank you, Brother Ken. Man of God, I would definitely appreciate that.
Amen.
Well,
good evening, Pastor Bonnet, First Lady Bonnet, Missionary Ken, Sister Ruthie, Sister Emily, Six, welcome to the show. And God bless every one of you.
Hi, Princess. Hope you're doing well tonight, sweetheart.
Thank you. Amen. Well, I am definitely looking forward to the show this evening. And I just want to ask prayer for Six and just to keep his spirit calm and at peace with things.
Amen.
I ask prayer for Sister Ruthie and all that she's dealing with. I ask prayer for Sister Emily and Sister Lila, First Lady Bonnet, and yourself. I ask God to just keep you guys lifted up. And I am thankful. I ask that God keeps me and my family strong as we go through the things that we're facing. And I love and appreciate God. I love and appreciate each and every one of you guys. And I am complete.
Amen. Well, thank you, Princess Mikhail. Thank you for your prayer request. And thank you for your as we say, salutations. We receive that, and we'll definitely be praying for Six and your family and all those things that you have mentioned. Good to hear you on tonight. Y'all pray my strength. Like I said, it has been a very long day for me. Very, very long. This will be one of those moments where Ken and Six and myself will be talking about coffee time. Amen. It's definitely one of those coffee moments. But I didn't make none for whatever strange reason. What's wrong with me? it is definitely been a long, long day today. But it's something about when I witness the Word of God and have opportunity to share it, it might give me strength. I'm able to understand when Jesus told his disciples, that they thought that somebody came and fed him. But he said, no, my meat is to do the will of the Father. And so, in other words, he felt strength. He felt that revival of physical strength from just accessing the anointing of God to do what God had called him to do. Amen. Amen. Any other questions? I'm going to put, I like my prayer request out for my wife and her family and the passing of her brother. We'll continue to pray for them. But also I'd like to add to that Sister Lila on my prayer request that we're praying for her. It just came across my spirit then. And so as we pray, I want us just to pray God's hand of protection and covering over her life. I don't know. Nobody told me anything going on with her, but she just dropped in my spirit. And so I just wanted to add her to our prayer request.
Hey, Pastor Bonnie, how are you tonight?
God bless your Sister Emily. Princess Nikhil, talk you up. There you go. Her prayer request was for you specifically. Amen. Maybe she's praying that you don't break the other hand by swinging at poles and stuff. I'm just teasing you.
I think I learned my lesson the last time, okay?
Amen. I'm just teasing with you. Amen. Well, how are you doing tonight? How's your mama doing?
About ready to clobber me.
That's not every other day, correct?
No, this time I got it good. I answered and I said, hello, Bonnet's resident. Can I help you? And she goes, huh? Say what? And she goes, huh? She goes,
so you gonna
say, what?
You're going to add me to that, huh?
And she said, you better behave. I said, you got an instruction booklet with pictures?
Well, with Emily, her mom has to whip her once a day and seven times on Sunday to keep her in line.
Hey, watch it, Kenny. Well, I
Amen.
Did do... accomplished good today, Pastor Bonnet.
All right. I'm listening.
I walked from my place out to the welfare office, dropped off paperwork, went and did Missionary Ken shopping for him and Sister Ruth. Then I came back, dropped off their groceries, got the recording done for this week, and then came back home and did some more housework at my house and just sitting down.
Well, I thank you. You're filling out this job application real good. So when can you start cleaning my house? Tomorrow or Wednesday?
wishful thinking, Pastor Bonnet. I got to have my house totally in order by the 20th of this month because we actually have our state HUD inspections on the 20th.
Okay.
I got to have my happy hiding up by 9 a.m. that day.
I think you're going to do all right.
All I know is right now, my feet are working.
I learned one thing in business. I used to be an overnight manager, and from time to time, the corporate office would send visitors. We have corporate representatives would come out and do certain inspections to the stores, and we would get the call from other managers, hey, this group, this so-and-so is out. I used to tell them, I said, well, that's fine, let them come. They said, well, we want to. I said, listen, if you do your work all the time, then you never have to worry about being prepared. Because if you do what they ask you to do, then when they pop up, they will see you're doing just what you're being paid to do and what was asked to do. So I just believe just do right and you'll be all right.
And then tomorrow I got the gentleman that comes in and helps with White House work and stuff. I got him coming at like I think 1:30 something like that tomorrow afternoon.
All right. Well, we pray everything go well with that. Amen. Amen. I'm gonna add Mr. Kim.
And being funny with you, Pastor Bonnet.
Ma'am.
Can I tell you your feet for mine?
Go ahead.
I said, could I trade you your for mine?
Yeah, you're gonna give me mine back because I'm not mine's tired. They're very, very tired. They've been going since last night. Well, they've been going since early this morning from about 12:30.
Did you say we had beautiful princess on here tonight?
Yes, we do.
Yes, I'm your sister, Emily. How are you?
I'm doing good. I was told to tell you that my mom has been praying for you, and she wishes you a blessed holiday season.
Well, thank you very much, and I keep you and her in prayer as well. And I wish you guys a blessed holiday and Easter or Resurrection Day, I like to say, as well. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I couldn't get out there to spend Resurrection Day with her, but we were on the phone goofing off, and I said something. I got her laughing. She goes, her nurse walks in, and she hears Mom laughing, but she didn't realize Mom was on the phone, and all of a sudden it dawned on her Mommy was on the phone, and the nurse says, what is going on there? She goes, my daughter's over here being bad, and she's only being smart because she's on the other side of the phone.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Like I told her, it's smart to be a wise guy while you're on the opposite side of the phone. This way you don't get clobbered right away.
Yeah, but they build up. Those whoopings might add up, so.
Where's that, Mikhail?
My mom,
I just have to teach them how to do what I do. I email my switches. Amen.
Uh-oh.
So when she opened it up, she going to, I said, what was that? That was my email switch. Right. I'm not.
And all Princess, right. Mom said, if you see six, could you do her a favor?
Okay.
She wanted to know if you would give her handsome, talented son a hug for her.
Okay, I can do that.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to ask Missionary Ken that he would, if he's available still, would he mind leading the prayer requests for tonight as we just submit those requests, all of them, one by one, name by name, each individual prayer request, as we submit that up to the Lord. And I'm just asked that he will come and we just submit those prayer requests to God. And I ask that he would lead that prayer for a moment.
Amen. Let us bow our heads for prayer now, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for leading this day. We thank you for waking us up this morning, Lord Jesus, giving us this day, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the breath in our lungs and the heart that beats in our chest, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, some of us have health problems, Lord Jesus, and we ask you right now for your healing hand, as your word said, by your stripes we are healed. We ask you, Lord Jesus, in your will, your way, we ask you to heal each and every one of us, Lord Jesus. Touch our bodies, Lord Jesus, as those of us have our own needs to be healed and those that we've asked prayer for that need healing, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, there are those out there right now who need a spiritual healing, Lord Jesus. We ask you to touch that soul who is nearest hell, Lord Jesus. Help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, I yield. Because your word does say, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day, and let them get in contact with us, so we can rejoice with their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, we ask for each of these persons one by one. First off, for Sister Nikhale, Lord Jesus, and her prayer request, Lord Jesus, you know each one, name by name and person by person. She's asked for Sister Emily, Sister Lila, Lord Jesus, as well as herself, Lord Jesus. You know each need and each prayer request that she has, Lord Jesus, whether spoken or unspoken, Lord Jesus. You know each need, and you know exactly what is needed, Lord Jesus, and you know how to touch and work in each situation, Lord Jesus. You know Sister Emily and her prayer request for her mom. And her mom, Lord Jesus, she has also asked for Sister Emily, Lord Jesus. We ask you to touch in those situations, Lord Jesus. And then Pastor Bonnet also mentioned Sister Lila and Emily, Lord Jesus. We ask you to touch those situations. He's also asked for his wife, Lord Jesus, and their family, Lord Jesus. We ask you to touch that situation. We ask for Brother Six right now, Lord Jesus, as he's been asking for guidance and help, Lord Jesus, for talent, for not to be procrastinating. Sister Princess Nikhale also asked for Sister Brother Six, Lord Jesus, in a situation there, Lord Jesus. We ask you to touch that situation right now, Lord Jesus, as that is needed. And then, Lord Jesus, for the request that Pastor Bonnet made on mine and Ruth's behalf, as well as Emily, asked for the same situation, Lord Jesus. You know each situation that we have, Lord Jesus. And then Sister Ruth, even though she hasn't spoken them, Lord Jesus, she has several requests. We ask you to touch those situations, Lord Jesus. Now we ask also tonight for Pastor Bonnet. As he goes to speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you for clarity of thought, clarity of mind, clarity of speech, Lord Jesus. As he brings the word, Lord Jesus, let those listening have an open mind and open heart, Lord Jesus, so they can receive that engrafted word that is able to save their souls, Lord Jesus. Now we give this program into your keeping. We turn the wheel completely over to you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask all this and pray and give it to you in your mighty and precious name. And everybody said, amen and amen.
Amen, amen. What a mighty prayer. Amen. The power of God. The Bible tells us that the prayers of the righteous avail as much. One of the things that was taught in our affirmation of church was that prayer was always in order. We saw prayer on so many fronts. We saw prayer before service. We saw prayer during service. We saw prayer after service. We saw the prayer service. Amen. We had the prayer circles. We had the prayer closet. We had the fasting and prayer. Amen. And the difference between then and now is growing up, we didn't go to the hospital as much because they prayed more. They believed the power of God for healing, for deliverance, and they prayed. New converts to Christianity or to the faith, people not only would preach the gospel, but they would get down and pray with them. Pray with them till what they will call a breakthrough came through. And they didn't give up. And there wasn't no one dab or do you. Amen. Some of the old mothers of the church, you would go to the altar and after you done finished crying and doing all of that, they would say, well, we'll see you tonight to see if you really got it. And they was looking for you to come back Sunday night to see were you still willing to get on your knees and call out to God. And so they, one of the old phrases they used to, especially with the kids, they used to tell them, let them get saved till they get saved. You know, let them keep on getting saved till they get saved. So it was always an encouragement to come to the altar. It was an encouragement to get on our knees and to call out to God. It didn't matter what you did. Didn't matter how bad you were. They didn't throw us away. They were simply tell us to pray. I think our world today will be a far different world, a far better world, if we would reciprocate that old behavior. A lot of times we, in our seeking of doing something new, we sometimes cast a dark shadow over some of the old traditions. But all old traditions are not bad traditions. Many of the old traditions really, truly taught us how to trust God. I can reflect on, and y'all excuse me for this nostalgic moment, but I'm just sharing my testimony. I can remember some of the, what we will have testimony services and how they were praying, the songs that were saying, you know, songs like Must Jesus Bear the Cross Alone and All the World Go Free. You know, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. We were saying songs like that, and then they were saying songs, Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. I never forget. And they were saying those songs over and over, and some of the words were just repetitive. But he wanted to get down in our spirit. And, you know, sometimes in life when you don't know what to do, you don't know how to process what's going on with you, some of them old songs come by here, my Lord, come by here. Come by here, my Lord. Come by here. Come by here, my Lord. Come by here. Oh, Lord. Come by here. Somebody needs you, Lord. Come by here. And these songs will stir up the gift of God, the Spirit of God. And it helped develop our joy. And I think in our attempt to draw the world, we try to imitate sounds of the world. And I think that's where we went wrong, because the word said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we're so quick to try to make the church another corporate entity. Well, we don't do that in the corporate world. In the corporate world, we do this and we do that. Well, this, the church is not the corporate world. The church is not to pattern herself after the world. I'm reminded that when Moses was given the instruction on how to to build the ark and how to build the tent that the ark was going to be kept in, and all the different, God was very specific to him on what to do and how to do it. Even when it came down to the anointing oil. And as I read that to us on the first Sunday, that the oil, God gave him specific instructions. Put this in the oil, put that in the oil, and this oil is for anointing the people, anointing Aaron's son, Aaron and his sons, and he was given that instruction. He said, and then it told him, say, don't make this oil for your personal use. In other words, don't use it as because it smells good for your cologne. Don't use it as a repellent for the bugs in the summertime. Mm-mm. This oil is anointing. That kind of carries me into, we talked about the first king that was anointed, and that was Saul. But he was the king that the people wanted. And because the people wanted him, unfortunately, that's what he as a king done. He was pleasing for the people, but he wasn't pleasing unto God. And God rejected him in so much that while the prophet was praying for him, the Lord told him to get up. Stop praying for him. And then he told him, he said, now go down to Jesse's house and anoint me a new king. And the prophet said, Lord, how can I do this? If the king see me to go anoint somebody else, he gonna kill me. That's how precious the anointing is. Even the disciples, the apostles earlier told him, don't forget the anointing, for when we laid our hands on you, don't forget what transpired. Don't forget what we left on you. I remember this, and I'm going to go back to the second king, but I remember growing up in Faith United Holiness Church of God
Pastor Benjamin. Pastor Benjamin and his wife, and they had an adopted daughter. And the church was growing. We had just recently got that building moved off of Francis Street from a real small building. I was 7 years old there. That's when I first asked Jesus to come into my heart. So I remember those moments very vividly. It's a picture in my head. Can't tell you what date it was. I just know the incident that took place. And however, I remember being in a revival where the man of God said to the pastor, he said, you need a musician. You need someone to play music for your ministry. And I remember, and it was in the service, I remember the pastor said, well, we don't have no one right now, but God will send us someone. He said, God already sent you someone. And he pointed Vera out. And she said, I don't play. And she said, I don't know how to read music. And I remember the Spirit of the Lord was just high in that place. A lot of things had happened prior just before that. And I remember him going over and literally taking oil and anointing her. And the church was just in an uproar. But the next Sunday, she had started playing the keyboard, the piano. And we ain't had no keyboard. We had a piano, an old-fashioned piano. And she started playing the piano. And she never learned music, but she played wonderfully. And we had people come say, oh, wow, she plays so well. How long you been playing? And we would tell them that she was anointed to play. This is why I know the power of God is real, because I experienced the move of God even as a young man, very young child, receiving. I saw the miracles of God because the church then believed the power of God. When we read the scripture, these signs shall follow them that believe. It didn't say these signs shall follow just the preacher, but it said these signs shall follow them that believe. And so we saw many things happen. But here in the scripture, we see that David was a shepherd boy. He wasn't first in his father lineage, second, third, fourth, fifth. He was way down at the bottom. And the oil that was in the horns, when the prophet went to anoint Jesse's first song, the oil would not pour out. In other words, he went to pour the oil, thinking, surely, this must be who God sent me to anoint. And he had judged him because he saw that he had a bold statue, one that will cause the people confidence. And I love this when we read the scriptures and we begin to pay attention to the details of what the scripture is saying to us, to let us know that even the prophet who was obeying God, while he was obeying God to go find the right king, he himself thought, oh, wow, this got to be the one. But the oil wasn't released. They said, well, okay, the oil not coming out. He didn't try to make it come out. He didn't reach his hand in there to break the seal, to make the oil flow. He said, no, it's not the one. And what we have to understand is we can't force the anointing of God. And when we read the scripture and pay attention to the small details, we realize that although he at first thought this the one, and then he thought again this the one. Finally, after you keep thinking that this the one, you get the understanding, Lord, I don't know who the one. You show me the one. And he said to Jesse, he said, okay, none of these boys you done brought before me is the one. Is there another? Because he was told, bring all your sons before me. David overlooked because he was ready. He was small. He was young. He was sent out to do a job that they gave many of the young women to do. Take care of a few sheep. So he was disregarded. He was overlooked. But when you read Psalms and you read the story of him in 2 Samuel, you find out that David was somebody. But his beginning, he was totally overlooked. They didn't see him. Now let's look at the narrative of that. Samuel says to Jesse, we're not going to eat until you bring your youngest son in. And his dad said, yeah, this can't be the one. He said, we're not going to eat there until he stand before me. And they bring David in, and he takes the ram horn and tilts it over David's head, and then the oil comes out. And when we read that narrative, we understand that what God has for you, don't matter how far down the line you are, you don't have to be anxious. You don't have to just be faithful where you at. Excuse me. Be faithful where you at. Because when you're faithful where you at, when you're faithful with the charges that have been given you, you can see how great God is for you. Could it be? And I just food for thought. It dropped on me like that, so I'm going to just share that thought with you. Could it be that the reason why David got chosen to be the next king, because God set and observed him and watched him take care of all of those other little sheep? Could it be that God watched David share his lunch meal with a sheep? Could it be that while the sun was out hot and David was covering himself from to shield himself from the sun, that one of the sheep that was close by him, that he began to share the shade with the sheep? See, when the Bible tells us to despise not the days of small beginning, and many times these are the makings of the anointing, the development of the anointing that God has placed in each of us. Many times God put things in us and he watched how we handle the little, how faithful we handle the insignificant. He watched how
diligent we are. If we fast forward a little bit, it was later on before, while the children of Israel was frightened by Goliath. And David was sent on an errand to collect the money from his brothers and take them some food. He gets there, and because of his brother's shame, though, you know, the two brothers that could have been king, the two brothers that wish they were king, the two brothers that thought they were better than their little brother, the two brothers that probably after the oil was smeared upon him, became more jealous of him. But David went back into the field and kept on working. There's no record saying that David went around saying, I'm going to be king one day. You better watch how you handle me. And we have no record of David lording over anyone his future position. So his brothers tell him, what have you done with those few sheep? And could that be the reason why God didn't open the door for them? Because he saw that they didn't care about the few. They only cared about the masses. And could it be that the reason why some things we don't have is because we only want to perform when there's an audience to see? We only want to show out for the great numbers. Many years ago, this understanding came to me very clearly. When God gives you an assignment, and let me point this at Pastor Bonnet so you're not offended. God called me to preach and to minister, and I was pastoring. And I lost the start service on time. And many times, you know, you're looking for this one to come in and that one to come in and that one to be in. And I say, no, start on time. And you get to the point of the message and you look and say, they're still not here. And you want to stretch the service. And as a young minister, I learned prior before pastoring that you don't make those that were faithful and showed up on time, you don't make them suffer for the ones that are late. And it's not fair for you not to give your all. And I had people ask me, that, man, you preach like you have 100 people. I said, man, my job was to preach. So if it was just one, matter of fact, the late Ella Pippin gave me that. One of my mentors, he was our senior elder. And I remember when he got hurt and I began to take over the prayer service for him. And he would always encourage me. He said, Bonnet, I don't care if no one show up. You start on time. And I can remember one time praying. Started prayer on time, was nobody in the room. But he said, pray on time. Now, we had a whole hour to pray. It wasn't short time. We had an hour. And I began to pray on time. And for the most part, at least one person came.
into the prayer meeting. But what I later found out, Princess Nikhil, is while I was praying, and I really let go of who's here and who's not here, it seems to me that the whole room was filled. And I started feeling presence, like everybody was listening to the prayer. I felt like God allowed the angels to sit in on the prayer, to join in on the prayer. Now, later what I found out was because there was a downstairs daycare center as well in the north location, people would come up and they would sit in the prayer for 5 or 10 minutes and then leave out. So people would later on say things to me, "I just enjoyed the prayer." And I'm like, "What prayer?" And in my mind, I'm trying to figure out what they was talking about. And it would dawn on me afterwards, they're gone, that it had to be them that stepped in and received prayer, received what they needed from the Spirit of the Lord. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit will make intercessions for us, because oftentimes we don't know what we have need of. So the Spirit of the Lord will intercede for us through prayer, and he will speak for us. And many times in our heavenly language, we will speak in tongues in prayer. These are private moments. These are not for the public. And your spirit will begin to pray out and cry out to the Lord. Because the Holy Spirit within you knows what you truly need. That's an inward anointing. That inward anointing covers you. That inward anointing. And then after the prayer, it seems like you're full. After the prayer, it seems like even though you may not have the physical resolve, somehow in your mental, there's a resolve. There's a peace that allows you to know it's going to work out. It's going to unfold for me. And that's what David walked into. That's what David found out, that the Spirit of God will meet the need. David had no skills outside of knowing how to keep a few sheep together. David's only skill was a slingshot. His only skill was taking a pebble or a stone, putting it between a piece of leather with some string, swinging it around, releasing one of the strings so that the rock will open up out of the covering of the leather and go in a certain direction. God anointed a slingshot. God anointed a string and a piece of leather and a smooth rock. You say, "Well, Brother Preacher, well, you know, God anointed David." Nah. God anointed a string, two pieces of string, a piece of leather, and a smooth rock. God anointed two pieces of string,
a piece of leather, and a smooth rock. And he put it in the hand of somebody who believed God is able. And without ever fighting another man, not one of war, his only battle prior to that was two wild beasts, one lion, one bear. And regardless to that, how that unfolded for him, he remembered he had victory. So the only thing he was standing there that day, when he saw his king, he saw his brothers, he saw his family countrymen being intimidated by a man that was stood and never had six fingers on each hand and six toes on each feet. By all accounts, to David, this must be a monster. He didn't go to Goliath and say, "Goliath, you know, I'm going to be king one day. I've been anointed to be king. I'm the future king." He didn't tell his brothers, "Shut up. I'm the future king." What he realized is, you know what? All these lonely days when everybody has abandoned me, they done ate dinner without me, they didn't bring me nothing out here. All I had was fruit and this water and this pig skin that I kept, for this goat's milk that I kept. They left me out here all day and all night by myself. But I done got good with these two pieces of string, this patch of leather, and some rocks. They work for me. So he built up confidence. How do you know that? Because later when Saul put his armor on him, he said, I ain't proved none of this. King James wrote, "I haven't proved it." In other words, I haven't tried none of this before. I don't know what this stuff feels. This stuff's heavy. I don't know how to use none of this. I'm not swinging no sword. I don't know how to use that. I don't know how to defend myself. I don't even know how to hold a shield the right way. He took off all of that, and that's what I want you today, tonight. I want you to take off everything that's been weighing you down that haven't proven itself to be successful in your life. Stop trying to be like everybody. Stop trying to do everything that everybody else is doing. Glory to God. I want you to let go. Remember what he had already anointed for you. Don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but I'm talking to somebody who's used something in the past and been successful with that, and that what was working for you, that's what God used, that's what was anointed. Stop trying to put on this other armor that don't fit you. And that's one of the greatest challenges, because we can see other people when they use it. I can imagine David taking time and seeing his brothers spar from time to time in the distance. I can imagine him seeing them swinging those swords, playing sword games, fight games with the swords and shields, and he can hear it in the distance. Cling, cling, cling. Tap, 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 clean, tap, clean, tap, 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 tap. I can imagine David saying, "Wow, look at my brothers." But what we do not see recorded Is David nowhere saying, woe with me? I wish I was more like my brothers. Oh, I wish I can be strong like them. Oh, I wish I can put on that armor. Wow, he looked courageous. He looked like a legend in the making. But what we see is someone who's been forgotten. We see someone who was only called because if those two brothers was on the battlefield, what happened to the third brother, the fourth brother, the fifth brother? Why they couldn't take the food to the battlefield? Could it be that they were asked? They said, ain't my battle. Boy, do I care. Your faithfulness gives you access to the anointed that's placed before you. David was already proven faithful over little. David was already given tools to utilize. And whether he used those tools in his free time or to occupy time, what we do know is he knew how to use them. What are you saying, Brother Preacher? I'm saying to you, if you don't know nothing but seven scriptures, make sure you know that. If you don't know but five scriptures, make sure you know them. If people say, well, every time I see you, you talking about that same old scripture. Why you don't get a new scripture? Stick with them same old. I'm not telling you don't learn more. I'm telling you stick with what's been in your hand. The reason why every now and then I testify to you all about tithing. And I know a lot of people think that tithing is under the law and all of this, and I realize the controversy about tithing, but what I've been trying my best to teach us is the tithe is what God had allowed us to keep because all of it belongs to him. I mean, the tithing is what God requires of us. And the 90 is what God allowed us to keep. And he watches to see how we handle the 90. God pay attention to how we handle what's given. Jesus proved it. He made it plain and simple. He took a moment. He sees this widow woman about to give her last two pence. We're going to call them pennies for our understanding. The woman got two pennies. That's all. She's got two coins. Two. Two coins of value of any kind. She's poor. She's broken. She doesn't say, Lord, well, I'm going to give you one and I'm going to keep one and buy me a piece of bread. And there's no bargaining with God. She says, these two coins are not going to pay my bills. And what I'm going to use these two coins to do is I'm going to take these two coins and I'm going to make them a seed. Why? because so long as the earth remains, there shall always be seed time and harvest. I'm going to plant these two seeds. And I believe that because she had an intention on giving God her last, that the Holy Spirit said, Jesus, she finna do it. The Heavenly Father's just stood up, and he's shining on this scene, and he sees her about to make her contribution from her heart, and he highlights it. So the spotlight is on it, like being at a play when the main character comes up forward and the spotlight is on them. Jesus called over to the disciples. He said, hey, check this out. It's in your Bibles and mine, too. And she gives her last. While those that got the fancy clothes on say, hey, look here. I'm a big baller today. I'm dropping out 5 gold coins. Oh, man, that's what you dropped out? Doc, I got 6 coins today, man. I'm dropping out 6 coins. Thinking they doing something. And people going, ooh, wow. Oh, that's a gold coin. Oh, wow. Oh, man, they giving good money in that church. Ooh-wee. Jesus said to his disciples, man, the rascals ain't doing nothing. What they gave me was out of their abundance. But what she gave me was her all. Woo-wee! That meant nothing what they did. It had its value, true enough. But God look at how we handle what we have. He said to them, I tell you, she gave more than all of them. And you in your mind, you're saying, how these little pence, these copper coins, these coins that's almost worthless compared to gold? Because he wasn't looking at that. Back to David, what God was looking at in David was, he wasn't looking at the fact David wasn't strong like his brother. He wasn't looking at the fact that David wasn't skilled at war like his brother. He wasn't looking at the fact that David often cried while he was by himself, taking care of them sheep, wondering what everybody doing. In fact, what God was paying attention to was, David, one of the sheep's about to get away. And he watched David run after the sheep. He watched David defend the sheep. He watched David feed the sheep. And what moved God was, yes, God anointed the outer of David. But what he began to see was David's inner was anointed. It was anointed to serve God. It was anointed to love God. It was anointed to trust God. How do you know? Because David said to Goliath, you come against me with a sword and a shield, but I come against you in the name of the Lord. He didn't say, I'd come against you in my little sling shot and my smooth stone. Nah. He said, I come against you against I come against you with the God who have never lost a battle. I come against you with the power of him who know no defeat. That was a done deal. Because David's strength did not come from his own ability. It came from his faith and what God placed in his hand. At this point, David didn't have a sword. He didn't own a weapon. But he knocked David after David knocked Goliath down. He simply ran over, took Goliath's own sword, took all his strength to pick that sword up, and he just let it down on the neck of Goliath. And the next thing you know, David has the head of Goliath as he walked back to the palace, as he walked back to the royal tent of the king. And he walks in there with the head of their enemy dripping blood as he walked there. Here you go, king. Here's the head of our enemy. And again, he didn't boast. Yeah, king, I saw these five smooth stones, you know. They told me, you know, Goliath had four other brothers, and so, you know, he did no boasting. He didn't boast about his ability. Well, king, you know, I was thinking about doing a ricochet, but you know, there wasn't no trees. It's an open field. So, you know, I thought about throwing it on the ground, letting it bounce up and hit him in the eye. He did none of that. He thought of no wittiness to be pleasing. He simply understood that they stood for God. And if anybody stood against them, they were standing against God. What if we took on that attitude today? We will stand for God. And when those that stand against us, they're not standing against us, they're actually standing against God. Would not that make the difference in our life? Would not that put you in a better position moving forward, knowing that if you receive any rejection while you are obeying God, it is not you that is being rejected. It is God who's being rejected. So let's do that. Let's be anointed, not just on the outside, but let's be anointed on the inside, that we use what he gave. I want you to think a moment. I'm at the end of this. I'm about to pray for you. I want you to think about what it is that you're able to do effortless. What is it? What is that you do that when you do it, it doesn't matter how long it takes, it seems like that time don't exist. You get lost into it. What it is that you do, not because of recognition, but you do it
because it needs to be done. Amen. David, surrender his gift, his talent, his treasure. He surrendered all of that to the Lord, and God used it. And God anointed him outwardly, but he took that anointing inwardly, and he believed. He believed. And because he believed, now I turn to this. Because he believed, he was able to access this very scripture. It says that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth. I want to stop right there for a moment. Your true beliefs don't come from what you say in your mouth. Jesus said, these people worship me, honor me with their mouth. They worship me with their mouth, but their heart are far from me. Don't just be talking about loving God. Don't just be talking about working for God, pleasing God, because your lip service is not truly service for God. Service for God is here. For with the heart, who? Man, that's mankind, believeth. What do they believe? Unto righteousness. And with the mouth, this is what the mouth do. Confession. That's positive confession, is made unto salvation. That's the process. Is made unto. That's the process. That means your salvation is a process. God saved your soul instantly, but your body is going through salvation. It's going through the process, the development. And that's the anointing that comes in your life to make the difference. And he makes the difference where? In your heart. He makes it where? In your heart. So if your heart still hate, if your heart still holding on to hurt, then your confession must be, I forgive them. I forgive them. Why? Because your positive confession, your constant confession, I forgive that hurt. I forgive that pain. The anointing comes in and it develops you to that forgiveness sticks in you. And what hurt they did no longer hurt anymore. We must learn how to release it. That's why he said, confess your faults one to another, and he that is faithful will forgive. So that confess your faults one to another. So when we do that, amen, as we confess our faults one to another, that's when the power of God really comes in. I don't want people to know my witness. He ain't say confess your faults to everybody.
That one to another deals with the same believer, a faithful person. Maybe you're just talking to your pastor. Maybe you're talking to one of the elders of your church. Maybe you're talking to your spouse. Confess your faults one to another. So when you look at that and you begin to understand the process of the anointing of God develops. Now we read that in Romans 10:9-10 we read that confession is made unto salvation. So that's the development process. But over in James, we see it says, confess your fault one to another and pray. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm glad I turned to it. I'm glad, because we started out talking about the power of prayer. The prayer was always in order. How the early church did more praying, and they believed God. I can remember a time, and they sure enough don't do it nowadays. If we really cut up and did something wrong, we had to go before the church and ask for forgiveness. We had to confess our faults. They made us do it. And so because we had to do that, that made us very reluctant to cut up openly, because we didn't want to have to stand before everybody and say, okay, I went over there and took Miss Janie. I took her gum out of her purse. I'm sorry for stealing. Please forgive me. You know, and people say, that's extreme. You making people an open shame. Guess what? If you had to do that every time you cut up, guess what you wouldn't do? You wouldn't do that. Deter you from doing that. But we deemed it excessive. Shameful. And God deal with your stuff secretly. God don't always deal with your stuff secretly. Some stuff God will deal with openly. It depends on what it was and how it was done. When you sin privately, God deal with it privately. But when your sin is publicly, God deals with your punishment comes publicly. I'm still in the same book. Saul sinned by disobeying God in the eyes of the people. Saul was told what to do as he was leading God's people. He listened to God's people. His punishment came back to him publicly, openly. He didn't die nowhere privately and just slipped away into existence. No. Kingship was stricken from his whole family. That means the sins of the father can damage the family. And brothers, what you do can cause a lasting effect on your family. So important. But that's another topic. We'll deal with that another day. But David took another man's wife, impregnated her, and then had her husband assassinated because he didn't fall under the trap to cover it up.
And so God gave punishment. The wages of sin is death. And we thought that David was going to die, because even David's own words was to the prophet, that man should die. And the prophet said to him, thou art the man. And instantly he became godly. He didn't do what Saul did and say, pray for me, man of God, that my sins will be resolved. Now, he began to pray himself that God will resolve his sin. The Bible says he took off his royal garments and he began to fast and pray. Because God told him that what you've done, the consequence of this, that union got not going to last. I can't use that seat. So only those in that inner circle knew that. The whole congregation did not. Because God dealt with him. He had a private matter. And he didn't teach people to violate God or their fellow men like that. His judgment still was righteous when it pointed out. So he saw his very own sin. And he did not try to cover it up. He did not pass blame. He didn't say, well, it was his own dumb fault for being so stupid. No, he didn't do that. And so the Bible teaches us how to walk into that success. So back to James. James said, James 5 and 16. I don't know if I told you. James 5, chapter 5, verse 16. It says, so confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. So it's not just me confessing, but it's also me praying. Now, this is what's going to happen once I confess and once I pray. That ye may be healed. Why? Because being trapped in sin is a sickness to your soul. Thinking you can get away with sin is a sickness to your soul. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. But we must first be diligent to see these things through. Now, I'm not sure if you really got the difference between the outward anointing and the inward anointing. Hopefully, you understand the contrast. Just because God gifts you to do something, it is what you do. Your faith in what you do that determines how you do. David was anointed to be king, but he wasn't king until he became king. But he remained faithful until he was appointed king. He remained vigilant, consistent. That's why Saul was able to call upon him. And for whatever reason, he began to fight to the point where others would now begin to chant, David, Saul had killed his thousand, but David had killed his tens of thousands. The people were bringing back trouble. And all he was trying to do
is remain faithful. So they're going to talk about you. Remain faithful. They may scandalize your name. Remain faithful. It takes an anointing, and that's the Holy Spirit, to long suffer. It's a fruit. It's one of those attributes of the fruit. And when you embrace it, your whole world will now begin to unlock. And stuff that you thought you knew, God began to show you what it really was, what it really could have been. So I'm challenging you tonight as we come to a closing. I challenge you tonight to examine what have you been using regularly. What have you been doing regularly? Ask yourself the question, can God get any glory from it? And if God can't get any glory from it, then the question must be, why am I? Why am I doing it so much? And when you answer that question for yourself, it'll put you on your right, correct path. And you will be able to see what God has for you. Amen? Now, I didn't mute any of the mics, so all the mics are still open. If you have a question about the anointing of God, or you have a reflection of the anointing of God, or a question about it, or a reflection of it, you are able at this time to make that observation or statement, amen, or have that question. Yes, I need to tell my boy back. Pretty sure everybody on the line. Yeah, everybody on the line. Any questions, anyone? Going once. I'm not going private. All
right. I didn't have any questions per se. I do want to go back and listen to yesterday and today, just in case I missed anything, and just kind of make notes, and would like the opportunity to come back at another time if I do have any questions.
All right. And you're always welcome to text me or email me. You can email me any questions at prophetbonnett@yahoo.com. That's PROPHET. BONNETT at yahoo.com. And if you put in your subject matter or question for Motivational Monday,
okay.
And I'd be glad to answer that or respond to it as best as I can. But the anointing is so. There's so much more to the anointing. And really, I was going to add four more people to this conversation coming from the Bible to show you what the anointing will do. But I think I say that for the sermon on Sunday, because these four people, so the anointing, we see the anointing to give you the ability to do something.
Uh-huh.
So
So Sunday, Lord willing, stay the same. I want you to be able to see the anointing that comes on you that would not just allow you to do something, but would do something for you. In other words, because of the anointing, this could not happen. It shielded you. It blocked it. It stopped it. And so I want you to see the shield. Yeah, I guess I could say it like that. The shield of the anointing. Amen. Amen. The shield of the anointing. I need to write that down.
So Amen.
Amen. The shield of the anointing. That's good right there. Yeah, that's what we're gonna go in that direction. The shield of the anointing, because the anointing comes to give you an assignment on what to do, and so that's the anointing on you. It points you in your direction. The anointing in you gives you how to do what you need to do. Now, and the anointing in you also is the anointing that covers you and protects you. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. We're gonna show how having the anointing of God. And so what that does is, and case in point, the Passover, we see that the anointing covered them from death. Death was covered. So the anointing shielded them from death. That's why we tell fathers and mothers, anoint your children before they leave the house. They're getting ready to go on a long vacation or what have you. Anoint them before you send them out to these camps and different things. Anoint your children. Why? Because they need a covering. I'm gonna stop right there, because that's the whole sermon right there. Amen. The anointing that shields. Amen. It's a covering. Amen. And so, but I want to show you that in Scripture, how powerful the anointing of God. And it comes from the anointing that you use, that you operate in. And so you just can't think that you can do this one time and have the same anointing as everybody else. We know the story about the sons of Sceva, how one man went to imitate what he saw in casting out demons. But because he didn't have the anointing to shield him from that demonic attack, those demons said, "Paul, we know. Jesus, we know, but who are you?" And so if you don't have God's anointing, you don't have God's shield. I almost want to go in there right now. Thank you, thank you, Princess Nikhil. I appreciate that. You confirmed the message for Sunday. Hey, come on, brother Ken. I hear you.
I got to kind of weigh in on this. It kind of reminds me of the story of Naaman. He was a leper in the Old Testament, and he's one of those lepers that you hear about getting healed, one of the only ones. And this lady, she knew about him, and she is a little maid. And so she was wanting to see him healed. So she basically gets a word to this king, telling him about, you know, hey, would to God, you know, he'd see the prophet. And so he sends this letter to this other king, and they said, oh, wait a minute, who do you think I am? You know, basically, hey, he knew that his anointing was to be a king, not a prophet. And he said, well,
not a healer.
This guy is going to cause, what's he trying to do, cause some sort of war or battle between the two of us? And then lo and behold,
right.
The prophet come by and says, wait a minute, don't you know there is a prophet? And why don't you just bring him to me? And so the prophet, being anointed, has Naaman come to him, and then he sends out his servant and says, hey, tell Naaman, just go over here to Jordan, dip yourself 7 times in Jordan, and he'll be cleansed. And, of course, Naaman says, no, wait a minute, isn't there other places I could dip myself 7 times in that are basically cleaner? And
right.
He goes leaving off in a huff, and the servant says to the Naaman's servant says, now, wait a minute, Naaman. Now, if he had told you to do something great, wouldn't you have done it? And he finally, yeah. He goes and does what the prophet said, and he dips 7 times, and Jordan comes out, and he's clean, his
new baby,
like a baby, and he goes back, and he's wanting to give the prophet gifts, and the prophet says, no, I ain't taking nothing from you. So he goes and leaves, and the servant says, hey, I'll take the gifts. The prophet won't take it.
Yeah.
I'll take it. And he goes, and lo and behold, he ends up a leper.
That's right, because he stepped outside of the cover-up. That's why I say, you got to read the Bible. You got to read the Bible. The man of God said, man of God did. He realized the letter went to the king. And so the king, and he overheard it. So it wasn't his season to shine like that, but he heard it. He heard the word and knew that it wasn't time for war. And so he's not grandstanding. That's why he sent his servant out. Man, go tell him, man, go dump. You know. Listen, I don't want him to think I'm somebody greater than this. Just tell him go do this, and this is gonna happen. Obey the prophet, and so shall you prosper. But he didn't want to obey. And if then like Miss Ken said, it's a man. If he'd asked you to do something grand, you did it. He'd asked for all your money, you would gave it. So he asked you to do a small thing. He asked for a small thing, but the small thing wasn't a popular thing. The small thing was something that pride said to him, you better than the Jordan River. You better than that. See, pride will mess you up. Pride will make you miss the anointing. The anointing there was to heal Naaman. It was in the word that the prophet released, but it was through his obedience, and so confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. See, there are certain things that God requires us to do in order to receive a healing. Now, Ken, you started this. So he was a leopard. The Bible says there was 10 leopards one day. There was 10 leopards of Samaritans that came to Jesus and said, heal us. And Jesus told them, say, okay, I'm going to heal you, but go to the priest as it is commanded. And go show yourself. See, he gave instructions. So this was the shield, this was the protection. This was what the covering. And the Bible says, and as they went, they were healed, and only one, returned. He stopped, realized he healed. He goes back to celebrate Jesus. And he gets there, and he's thanking Jesus, and Jesus say, what am I teaching? In other words, Jesus is looking for the rest of y'all to show up on Sunday. He's looking for the rest of y'all to show up in Bible study. He's looking for the rest. Was there not 10
that needed deliverance, and only just one. Now, then, so he tells the one, not only are you healed, but now you're going to be whole. So everything that, so you ain't, you're going to be healthy now. You ain't going to have to worry about it coming back. It's not, you're delivered, you complete, all because you turn back to say thank you. Plain simple. To give credit to whom credit is due. Hey, amen. Ah. And so that's what he did. Thank you all, Missionary Ken. Man, I like that, boy. Preachers will get one in. Man, I tell you, that was a good one, too. That was good. Oh, man, our time is gone. Lord have mercy. Time is gone. Time is gone. Anybody else got a comment, a question? Going what? Going twice? Three times? It is to be continued. Amen. I want to thank all our listeners on this evening for tuning in to the 6 Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. Thank you for tuning in on the 6 Eyes Radio Network. You can download us from your iHeart app, and you can listen on demand to not only this program, but all the programming here on the 6 Eyes Radio Network. Amen. We want to thank you. Now, if you like to make a donation to the program, you can use two instant ways of doing that is through PayPal and through Cash App. Always on our website, it will have that information for you. And you can always send that email to Brother Six and get the information so you can send in, as Missionary Ken like to call it, snail mail, and you can mail your check or money order to him that way. I want to say thank you to everyone that showed up on tonight. Hopefully this is exposing to you the different levels and the difference of the anointing. The anointing, there's one spirit, one anointing. There's one. We're not talking about multiple spirits. We're talking about the Holy Spirit and how he shows us in so many different things. Amen. And so that same one Spirit of God will cover you, keep you. The same one Spirit of God will be your shield, your protection. And why the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God. Amen. So understanding the Spirit of God, how he operates in our life to develop us, to groom us, amen, so that we may fulfill the purpose that God has for us. Hey, I love you all. Our prayers are continued with you and your family. You pray for us, and we're praying for you. Until tomorrow night with the Word from the King, or Bible study with Missionary Ken on Wednesday, or back with Dr. Doug Quick on Thursday, or Friday with AJ and the squad. We look for you to join us at your convenience. And thank you for joining us tonight. We love you. Right? May God keep you as you journey this world today.